Is biblical doctrine important in my life? Is it? Absolutely. Yeah. So godly doctrine should affect how we live and how we would respond. So the Word of God transforms our hearts, and we get to grow in the knowledge of God, and our faith grows in Christ. So also the Word of God renews our minds and also breaks off strongholds in our lives, especially in our mind. Have you ever thought of, if I would ask you to write down the doctrines, the biblical doctrines that you believe, right? If I asked you to write down all the biblical doctrines that you know, and then if you did a comparison of how, so if you did a comparison, if I write down all the doctrines I believe, and then if you looked at it, how many of those do you actually live? Does that make sense? So we say that we believe this doctrine, this doctrine, this doctrine, this doctrine. But do I live according to that doctrine, to that doctrine, to that doctrine? Then when we look at it, do I live that way compared to what I believe? Does it line up? Right? That's a sobering thought. We could believe all this stuff, but do I live it? Do I live according to what I believe? Do I live biblically to what the Word of God says? And so that we have to realize why it's so important, why biblical doctrine is so important to our faith. Hopefully that makes sense. Right? Because people are replacing sound doctrine with lies to deceive so many people. And you see that prevalent in the church today. You have woke churches, you have progressive churches who have gone so far away from the truth, the biblical truth of the Word of God. And it's very important for us as believers to know what the truth is. To actually read the Word of God in its entirety, and also to know what it's saying without adding or taking away. So without compromising the Word of God. We can't just nitpick what I think the Word of God should say for my situation. But what is God saying to you? Why biblical doctrine is so important. And we see that. Churches are going away from that. So biblical doctrine helps us to grow healthy. Right? Our roots get grounded. We grow deeper with the Word of God. And it also combats unhealthy doctrine that we may believe right now. So my hope is, as we look through the Word of God, maybe there's doctrine that you do not believe this, you believe unhealthy doctrine that is you're in bondage because of it. Because your doctrine does change. Sometimes we believe this, and as our walk grows with Christ, He reveals to you that doctrine does not line up to His Word of God. Because a lot of people want to know, get this new revelation of who Jesus is without understanding the truth of the gospel. How can we apply what the Word of God says today? We don't need a revelation of who Christ is. We just have to read what the Word of God says who He is. And so there's a lot of emotion in this. People are trying to stir emotion without really getting to know the heart of God. So don't get caught up in emotion. But get caught up with the Word of God says who Christ is. And apply what the Word of God says of who Jesus is. So, you know, the huge majority of the New Testament references to the doctrine emphasizes guarding against unsound doctrine. Do you know that? When we read the New Testament, it's telling us, guard yourself from ungodly doctrine. Because there is a lot of false people out there, false prophets, false teachers, who will come in like sheep, but they're dressed like a sheep, but they're ravaging, raging wolves that want to devour the flock. So we have to be careful what doctrine we believe or what we take hold to. So we need to be able to refute doctrine. To be able to refute or combat doctrine, false doctrine, we have to know what the truth of God says. So it means going into the Word of God and looking at the Word of God so we could understand. If somebody comes in and says, thus says this Lord, I'm doing this and that, does it line up to the Word of God? When I speak to other believers, maybe they're not believing the truth. And we have to correct them. We can't accept this or that. It has to line up to the Word of God to be able to build healthy doctrine. So Paul warns the church in Ephesus not to be carried about every wind of doctrine. So you return to Ephesians 4:14. So Ephesians 4:14. Don't have a Bible? So Ephesians 4:14. Ephesians 4:14 says, then we will no longer be infants. Because before he says, in Ephesians 4:12, it says, be prepared to prepare God's people for works and service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. That's verse 12. 13, until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. So we are supposed to build up one another with sound doctrine, right? To test what is being said, so we would grow and mature. Attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. 14 says, then we will no longer be infants. So God doesn't want us to be infants. He doesn't want us to be drinking milk. In order not to be drinking milk, we have to know what the Word of God says. And apply what the Word of God says. It's something we have to do. And we ask the Holy Spirit to open up the Scriptures to our minds so we could understand it. So He's revealing to you what the Word of God says. So no longer be infants, be tossed back and forth by the waves. So being an infant, you're going to get tossed and back and forth. You're not going to understand. And when you go highs and lows, you're like, oh my goodness, back and forth. But if you're mature, you're rooted and grounded in Christ. So when those storms come, you're not going to be tossed back and forth. You're going to be like that strong tree that's rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemes. We see that today. Very deceitful schemes. It might sound true. It might sound accurate. It might, because it's going to have probably 90% truth in it. Right? But if you don't know the Word of God, how can you refute it? How can you combat it? So it's very important to know what the Word of God says. Hope this is making sense. So in Titus 1, Returning to Titus 1, verse 10. For there are many rebellious people, mere talkers, deceivers, especially those of circumcision group. So there's many talkers, deceivers. There is. Even today, we see a lot of talkers and a lot of deceivers in the body of Christ. So they must be silenced. Because they are ruining the whole household. So if we don't have, if we're not rooted and grounded in the truth of the gospel, we can't combat and refute heresy. We can't battle this. Because we have to have an ear and being tied in with the Lord, saying, Lord, does this line up to your word? They must be silenced because they are ruining the household. And that's where division happens within the body of Christ. If you could divide the body of Christ, now Satan has access into the house. And next thing you know, the church is being split. How many of us know church has been split? A lot of churches have been split because of false doctrine. We see that happening. So the important thing is to know doctrine, to understand doctrine, and to know why we need to know what the Word of God says in its entirety. We're not going to understand it all at once, but we start to be more mature in understanding and asking the Lord to help us to understand, to be teachable. They must be silenced because they are ruining the whole household by teaching things that are they ought not to teach, and that the sake of dishonest gain. A lot of people trying to, the prosperity gospel is a huge one. That's massively ungodly. There's so many other ones that leading people astray. This progressive movement. Wokeness is dishonest gain. It's causing people not to follow the Lord and walking away from the faith of the true gospel. And that the sake of, in verse 12 says, even one of their own prophets have said this, centrists are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply. That's what we need to do. So if we know somebody's teaching false doctrine, he says in verse 13, says we need to rebuke them sharply. Don't pray about it. You need to know what the Word of God says and go and rebuke them sharply in love and with meekness. That's a very command what the Lord's saying. It's like we need to rebuke them sharply. Don't allow that doctrine to enter into your heart. Don't start believing. Do not let them have ground in your life to lead you astray. Because that's what false doctrine does. It will lead you astray if you start believing it. So the Bereans, in Acts 17:11, the Bereans, what were the Bereans known for? Yes, investigating the truth. Right? They investigated the truth, they understood the truth, and they prayed about it. They didn't take it lightly what was being said. They tested what was being said by the Word of God. And they were known for righteousness. They were known for righteousness. They tested what Paul and all the apostles were saying. They didn't just, and then they test what they're saying by the Word of God. So the doctrine we believe, do we test it to the Word of God? Am I believing correctly? So not only doctrine summarizes the very Word of God, but it guarantees the health of the church. Why doctrine is so important. Do I believe correct doctrine? or am I believing a lie? When we believe correct doctrine, there's fruit in our lives. And people flourish within the church. Doctrine is supremely important. And a lot of times we don't think about doctrine. I would encourage us to write down what we believe, what we say we believe. And just make a note and say, do I really follow that? Because it could be just, I know it. I know that doctrine is right, but I don't follow it. Why is that? So your doctrine will determine how you live your life. So Paul's instruction about qualifications for elders involves both what they will teach and how they will live. So if you turn to Titus 1, verse 7. Titus 1, 7. Since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not punishing, pursuing dishonest gain. These are qualifications. And also, even as husbands in our own house, these are qualifications to be the leader in our own house. So we're not supposed to be overbearing, not quick-tempered, not getting over drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain, but rather he must be possible, and one who loves what is good. So do we love what is good? Who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined? He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine, refute those who oppose it. So as a husband in our own house, are we being the men that we ought to be? Do we live uprightly? Do we live holy? Are we disciplined by the word of God? This is a high calling for a man. And a lot of times, sometimes we fall short on it. You know, false teachers Thessalonians 1:16 says, they claim to know God. So false teachers, we have to be aware of false teachers, because they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for doing anything good. So by we look at their fruit, right, does what they say, does it match up to what they are doing and how they're living? So we look at the fruit. We listen to what they say. Does it align to the word of God? Everybody's still quiet. So Matthew 7:13. This is why it's so important for doctrine. I find it very important to understand why doctrine is so important to our lives. It has to be fundamentally important. Without good, solid foundation, we can be led astray. We're thinking that we're following God, meanwhile we're way over here. And so in the New Living Testament, or New Living Translation, thank you. I like how it said in this one. It says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. I like that. You can only enter God's kingdom only through a narrow gate. Very narrow. The highway to hell is broad. You can accept whatever you want. You invite this in. You look at a lot of some progressive churches, woke churches, allowing homosexuality, transgenderness into the church, and being part of the leadership team. That is not what God's word says. God is very precise. He says, nor homosexuals, nor adulterers, nor fornicators. He goes through the list. But you once were like that. Right? So we change. If you were like that, there is change. But if you continue living these ways, you will not enter the kingdom of God. It's pretty narrow. Pretty narrow. Cut and dry. And you look at churches where it's saying transgenderness is okay, homosexuality is okay, adultery is okay, living, having sex outside of marriage is okay. God still loves you. But that is very broad. And that leads people to hell. So this is why important, why it's so important to know doctrine. So that you're narrow. Knowing what the boundaries. If you know the boundaries, right? It's easy to live a godly life. To live a holy life. Not being cast off of accepting this doctrine, that doctrine. It's narrow. God says this. We have an issue with it. We need to go to God. So you can enter God's kingdom only through a narrow gate. The highway to hell is a broad and it's wide for those who choose that way. The choice. They choose to go with a wide and accepting everything. They choose that way. Because of their doctrine, because of their beliefs. And it's easy to go that way. It's easy, and I want to feel accepted. I'm just going to accept whatever the world says. So do we have a biblical worldview? Or do we have a worldly worldview? So what doctrine is more prominent in our lives? A biblical or worldly doctrine? And sometimes we're on the fence. I don't want to put my foot on this one, but also on that one. But it's broad. We need to choose a side. What doctrine do we want to believe wholeheartedly? Well, the biblical one. Because it gives you a life of freedom, joy, comfort. It also gives you that you feel secure. And there's no room for doubt. It gives you a sound mind. Right? And it just gives you a life of overflow with joy when you're on that narrow road. Because you know what's expected. Because we could go down the highway that sign says 100 kilometers an hour. If I drive 160, something you're like, oh, hopefully there's no cop coming over that hill. But I know what I'm going to get. Right? That's living broadly. It's like, oh, whatever. I know what the word of God, I know what this needs says. I know what the word of God says, but I'm just going to just push my limit. The Amplified says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the easy. For wide is the gate and broad and easy to travel is the path that leads to destruction and internal loss. That's the Amplified. So enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad and easy to travel. A wide gate, wide path is easy. It's easy to live a life if you have a wide one. But it's not as contrary to what the Word of God says. So it's easy to follow this travel. So then we accept all this garbage. We accept this. We accept that. And what's the point of even coming to church when we don't believe what this doctrine, what the Word of God says? So the path that leads to destruction, eternal loss. Do you think all these people who believe in false doctrine, there's eternal loss? There's eternal, they may, could be, so a lot of them are saved, but then they lose eternal treasure. Some of them could be not even saved. The doctrine is so important. And there are many who enter it through it. But small and is the gate and narrow and difficult to travel. I like the Amplified. But the small is the gate and narrow and difficult to travel is the path that leads the way to everlasting life. And therefore are few who find it. To follow Christ, you live on a narrow path, narrow road. You know the boundaries. When we know the boundaries, it's easy to live for Christ. So what's the effects of improper doctrine? So if we believe improper doctrine, what are the effects of it? Well, what's the effect? Would there be deception? You're being deceived? Right? If you don't have proper, the effects of improper doctrine is deception. Well, you're not believing what the Word of God says, there's deception. How about delusion? You're thinking that you're following the Word of God, but you're not. That's why if you believe in the false doctrine, and that's why we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal anything in our lives. If there's doctrine that I'm believing that doesn't line up with the Word of God, I need the Holy Spirit to reveal that. So that we're not deceived. There's no delusion. But there has to be one that's a teachable heart. So improper effects of improper doctrines, unrighteousness. Not living according to what the Word of God says. Destruction. Your life becomes destructive. You are on this path that is causing you to be destructive. God has a plan for you, but if we're not following His plan on that narrow road, and we're on this wide one that accepts everything, it's a path of destruction. You're no longer following God. You're following Satan, actually. So, improper doctrine, it is a poison. It is a poison to the body of Christ. It affects many who genuinely love God, and also people who have itchy ears. That false doctrine is really soothing your itchy ears. They just love to hear that itch, that thing, because it comes about them, but not really truly about who Christ is. So, study the doctrine matters because Satan enslaves and destroys people with false doctrines. That's how Satan enslaves people. And how he destroys people with false doctrines. If he causes you to follow false doctrines, it's easy to enslave you. It's easy to lead you astray. So as we learn that we are in a spiritual battle, how many of you know that we're in a battle? And what's the battle about? What's the main thing you find out in this battle? What is Satan after? What distracts us? But also more your mind, right? It's more so your mind. Because if we allow the things of this world into our minds, it will affect our souls, and it will affect our hearts. It will affect our passion. So if he can enter into your mind and allow you to think about this and think about that, more worldly things than what the Word of God says, then eventually it gets into your heart. It gets into your soul that leads you away. So where's the mind? The battle is the battle of the mind. In Ephesians 6, we put on the helmet of salvation. Protect our minds. Are we careful what we watch? Are we careful what we read? Are we careful what we listen to? Satan sometimes attacks our emotions, our bodies, livelihood, even our family, in order to enslave, destroy the soul of the man, or to wear down the Christians. He wants to wear us down. So Satan's primary goal is to make you believe a lie. That's what he's after. Did you think about Eve? What did Satan say to Eve? Be more like God. If you eat from this tree, you become like God. But what did God say to her? Do not eat this tree. Eat from the fruit of this tree. Satan is a liar. He wants us to believe lies. And so we don't follow what the Word of God says. So how did Jesus overcome Satan? By the Word of God. He battled Satan by the Word of God. And how do we battle against Satan? By the Word of God. So we need to know the Word of God in our minds and also in our hearts. We need to be able to know the Word of God, apply the Word of God, and be able to speak the Word of God with it without any compromise. Revelation 12:19 says, "And the great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, and the deceiver of the whole world." He's known as the deceiver. Satan is a deceiver. He's a liar. In 2 Corinthians 4:4 it says, "The god of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light, the gospel that betrays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So he blinds the unbelievers, but I also think he can blind believers who are not walking according to the Word of God. He blinds us from that. So we can't really follow God on a narrow path. So am I believing a lie? Am I believing a false doctrine? That's something when we spend time with the Lord, it's like, Lord, show me. Am I believing something that doesn't line up to the Word of God, to your Word? Am I believing a false doctrine? Have I taken hold of something that is leading me away from you? False doctrine leads you further away from Christ. The Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, brings you back to Christ, to be Him, to be the center of your life. Not us. I am not the center of my life. Christ is the center of my life. And so when Christ is the center of our lives, right, we are now in the right, got Him right in front of us. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and everything pretension that set itself up against the knowledge of God." So that's, right? That's how we fight it. "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it to obedient to Christ." We have to take obedient the thoughts that come into our mind. Does that thought line up to the Word of God? And we have spiritual battles. See, sometimes when we are having difficult times, we're tired or burdened down, and sometimes you get these thoughts, and you're like, why did I get that thought for? I know this week at work, had some difficult days. And I know this guy was playing this, Led Zeppelin or whatever it was. And I could tell I was in a spiritual battle. Because that's very demonic. Led Zeppelin and all those Hendrix and all that is very ungodly stuff. AC/DC, ungodly. Though it's a great beat, but it's a doorway to open to satanic into your mind. And I know I said this, they were playing this music, and you go, "In Jesus' name, I tell that music to stop." the music went off. But it's knowing the right who you are in Christ. Because I knew it was affecting my attitude. Taking captive those thoughts. Taking captive and turning those things off. So Paul says our weapons have divine power to demolish these strongholds. So what are these strongholds? Strongholds are of arguments, that is, the systems of belief. What do we believe? Truly, what do we believe? And then it says we take captive every thought. Do I take captive every thought that is contrary to the Word of God? Or do I dabble with it? Do I doubt what the Word of God says? So we're fighting against an entrenched system of beliefs. And these can be strongholds in our own lives. What am I believing what is true? Because sometimes we're battling against strongholds that have been entrenched into our lives. Even before, sometimes before we became believers in Christ. Right? Sometimes those strongholds are there. And they get revealed by the Word of God. So these strongholds and beliefs, which enslave and destroy people, their lives. So that John 8:44 says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He has a murderer. He's been a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language." For he is a liar and the father of lies. So Satan is the father of lies. Before you become a child of God, Satan is your father. Right? Because when you come to Christ, Abba Father comes your father. You're in a different family now. A different way of thinking happens. Before we come to know Christ, we don't belong to God. But when we come to Christ, we come as a child of God. So Satan is the father of lies. He wants us to believe lies to entrap us. You know, have you ever heard of Karl Marx? So in 1848, he wrote a pamphlet. It's called the Communist Manifesto, right? So communist leaders such as Lenin, Stalin, in Cambodia, right? And others were deeply influenced by his writings and affected millions of people because of what they believed. And it killed, and they, Stalin and all those, how many millions of people did they kill during that time? How many did people lost their lives in Cambodia because of Karl Marx, his beliefs? And people got indoctrinated by those false beliefs. You see the effects of by believing false doctrines. Millions of people over the last years have been killed, and people are still being killed. Because of people believing in wrong doctrines. The church, as the church of Christ, we need to allow the doctrine of Christ to be spoken in clarity and sharing the Word of God to others to set people free from bondages, from deception. John 8:32 says, "When you know the truth, the truth will set you free." Not only we wage war against entrenched belief system, but Paul asks us, says, by the Word of God, says, protect ourselves from Satan's lies. We need to protect ourselves from Satan's lies so that we know the truth and to prevent Satan from from building strongholds in our lives. So this is the importance of doctrine. Ephesians 6:14 says, "Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and the breastplate of righteousness in place." 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Therefore, with minds that are alert," right? So 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Therefore, with minds that are alert." Our minds need to be alert and fully sober, that your hope and on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "But the Spirit explicitly says that at the later times some of will fall away from the faith." God knows this, right? 1 Timothy 4:11 says, "But the Spirit explicitly says that at the later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrine of demons, heresies." This is why it's so important to know doctrine, to apply doctrine to your life. Doctrine matters because Satan traffics in ideas, tirelessly establishes strongholds of false belief in the world. He's winning, and he will. He's going to continue to do it because people don't want the truth. And yet the truth of God says, the truth of God will set you free. And so people are accepting this wide road instead of accepting the narrow road, which leads to life, abundant life. Matthew 22:37-38 says, "Love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." God wants us to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. God really wants us to have the right thinking about him and to know him. God is a spirit. John 4:24 says, "God is spirit, and his people who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And truth will set you free. I think I know this. I want to go through doctrine. I think it's very important. I want to stop there. That is a lot. But what, maybe today we could ask the Lord, is there doctrine that I believe that's not true? Is there doctrine that I do believe? And Lord, can you reassure me that what I'm believing is true? And so as we ask the Lord, sometimes we need to be corrected, right? We need to be corrected at times. Not to put people down, but to put them back on the right path. because it's important to know what is true. And we don't want false doctrine to come in and deceive us. There's only going to be a remnant of true followers of Christ. And I want us to be like Bereans, who will test the Word of God to see if it lines up to the Word of God, and to apply the Word of God to our lives, and desire to live on a narrow path that leads to Christ. That we would not be caught up what the whim of the world is saying, but really what the Word of God says. And not to be like those other churches. And to also correct those who are speaking false doctrine. In one way, is it, it's like, show me in the Bible where that is being said. Can you show me where that says that in the Word of God? Well, you have to say. And they have to show you where it says that in the Word of God in its entirety. The onus is back on them. Because maybe they are believing a lie that's been taught to them by somebody who was influential in their lives. That's all you have to say. Very humbling, meek. It's like, where do you see that in the Word of God? Can you show me that so we can have an open discussion about that? Right? Very easy to say. And maybe then through that conversation, like, I don't think what you're believing is actually portrayed in that scripture. Have a conversation. Yeah, even if you look at even when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, and Moses went up to the mountain, what did the Israelites do? After Moses was gone up, and they went to Aaron, they complained to Aaron. Aaron says, bring me all your earrings and everything else, and I'll make you an idol. I think sometimes we long to hear from God or see God move, and we build idols to worship him because we lose sight of what really God says to do. So we build idols in our lives. I know I was going to share that next time. But... right, because, yeah. Anyways, Father, we thank you that your word is true without a shadow of a doubt. We thank you, Lord, that you want us to love you even with our minds. Lord, even with all our heart, mind, body, soul, so it encompasses the whole being of us, Lord, that we would worship you. And Lord, that you would search our hearts. And Lord, that we would be wanting to be teachable by you. And to know you wholeheartedly. And Lord, that you would take down these any strongholds that may be operating in our lives. Lies that we may be believing from a very young age. Or even recently. Father, we desire that you would set us free and put us on this narrow path. To know what your word says, that we truly believe your word from Genesis to Revelation in its entirety. And Lord, where we have doubts, Lord, that we will be able to talk to other mature believers and flush things out. And Lord, that you would replace those doubts with your truth. And Lord, that you would close doors where Satan's having access into our lives. Thus, leading us into the wrong directions. So Lord, have your way in our lives. Help us to be like a Berean, to read your word, to understand your word, to apply the word, and to live a life that honors you. So Lord, help us not to be like the world, but separated and set apart from the world. Lord, that we would respond in a biblical way with your truth and walking in faith in Jesus Christ. Who's the only way for life and godliness. He's the only one that is our way to heaven and who has redeemed us sets us free. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.